Well, let's continue with this spectacular greeting of our day in Glastonbury together with a meditation and channels. So if you would close your eyes, please, and just take a breath, your breath. And just let yourself float on that breath. Just softly, as if the melody is still flowing through you, because it is, isn't it? And feel the grid of crystal under you, and let it flow slowly and lovingly up into you, and mix with that beautiful melody. And float right up to the flower of your heart. And stop there for a moment and take a breath. And feel the flower open in your heart. Notice the petals as they softly open. And then another breath in and pull the energy from the crystalline grid underneath you, up again, through your body, to your heart, and then out the top of your head. And perhaps it comes out like sparkles or glitter or fireworks or a beam of light, so that the star mothers surrounding us say, "We are with you, we are here." And the grid below us and the star mothers around us and the celestial bodies above us hold us in this beautiful cosmic egg in this place called Glastonbury. And it's been called many things, but it's also been called home. And as you breathe, and as you feel yourself flowing into this grid today, you may feel that feeling of home, that feeling of lifetimes, that feeling of being greeted and honored. So allow yourself to expand into that greeting, and just for today, although you may carry this on when you leave, feel what it's like to walk in the honor of the old ones that still walk among these stones, these crystals, and the ancestors that were you. And let them guide your thoughts and your heart and your footsteps today, as you revisit the places, the spaces, and the energies of many lifetimes. Take another breath. And let your heart say yes. Yes. And welcome home.
So it is good day to you, huh? Ah, so very good to see you, your light, your brightness in this wondrous place of old. Yes, you have walked here before. You have left parts of yourself here and are thinking, well, maybe I should or shouldn't pick it up, huh? No, some of you have been in battle here. Some of you have been the hero here. Some of you have been ostracized here. Some of you have been judged and told you could not be who you are here. Today is the day of healing all. Today is the day of forgiving all, especially yourself. Today is the day to walk these stones and feel the earth vibrate beneath you, to vibrate the cleansing power of you, the healing power of you. As you move through these walls, you will hear voices call to you. You will sense the presence of many others that left their bodies 100,000 years ago. Well, maybe not that long. Or maybe so. So you see, these walls, these stones, this node, you set this appointment long ago to be here. On this day, to be blessed by the rain. You know, the rain may be a bit cumbersome sometimes, but without it, where would we all be? We ask you to pay attention to that blessing of the rain, for it can wash away many things. It can wash away those parts that you are ready to heal. It can wash through the streets and carry with it the little particles of your soul that are ready to be integrated. And as that is created, know, dearest beings of light, that you are born again. Born again into the newness of you. Here on this sacred land, in this sacred node, one of the most powerful in the world, of course, you will understand the vortex of energy that is created by the node. You will understand the opening of love with the tones of coming home, with the lullaby of your soul. You will understand the hero and the heroine that you still are. What did we say about the sounds? You will hear voices. You each heard that, yes? Of course. You see, for as you walk through these streets, as you walk through the abbey, as you honor the chalice well, know that the masters have walked here before you, and you have been those masters. They've paved the way. So as you move into the energy and you feel a tightness of your throat, know that there is something there for you to heal and release. When you walk through another passageway and you feel a pain in your back, know that there is something there to be healed and released. And as you breathe in the white doves of the abbey, know that your heart is opening. Oh, dearest beloveds, it is my honor to see your faces here again. Many of us walked here together. We held the heart of humanity with us. And you asked why. Why was it as it is? I believe you are still asking. You are the truth, the way, the light. We walked here in safety. We, you and I, bring safety back to these streets. To acknowledge that love, as only you can, as I bring that information here, a part of me is here, just as a part of you is here. Forgive. Forgive. That is the key. Forgive all. I implore you, if there is any anger, any pain, any fear you may still have in your heart, it is time to forgive you and all others. You are brought here to be you. You will not be persecuted now. Celebrate that. You will not be in pain now. And know that if some of you feel a pain, it is a pain of the past, not a pain of the present. Sing the tones, the song of your healing, and know that that is why you are here, to remind yourself that you are the way showers, to remind yourself that you are the light, so you can't keep it under a bushel any longer. You are the earth, you are the stones, you are the trees, you are the dove. You are the songs of the children and the ancients. And it is good to look with you once again. I am grateful. So, as we walk about this land, you will know. You will laugh, you will sing, you will dance, you will play. You will be still. And know that your heart is healing farther than you ever thought possible. Your heart is forgiving more than you even knew were there, was there. Your love is expanding more in the ways of you. For this land is your land. This land is you. Remember, heal, and then simply be. We love you deeply. We see you as we walk about the streets together today. We look into your heart and share that love together for all time. Namaste.
Greetings, dear ones. I'm Kryon of Magnetic Service. This is the second time my partner has brought me to this area called Glastonbury. And the last time I sat in the grass and we discussed the area. We discussed the history here. And so this has already been recorded and even published. What I wish to do this day is to give a message that is the same in this channel and the one to come later. And it's one that goes beyond what I told you. And it's historic. And it's filled with information that might be questionable. So questionable it is that we are going to call this channel the Blasphemy Channel. Dear ones, I want to set the record straight. Those who study the history and are invested in a very pure way to the research may disagree. For over 2,000 years or more, it's very difficult to verify some of the things I may say. And yet there is a beauty in this story, and the story makes sense. It's filled with logic, human nature, and truth. Let us begin by telling you this is a story of Jesus and his uncle Joseph. Now, right away, there would be those who would question the relationship between Joseph and Jesus. And they would say, well, there is no proof that Joseph was related to Jesus. So I shall stop looking for proof and look for things that are self-evident, things that make sense within the story that actually took place. And as I tell you this, I will remind you of this, of why we tell you a truth that even though there is no linear proof, is absolutely true intuitively. You'll see in a moment. There's questions whether or not Joseph visited this area at all before that time which he was told to come and set up a small church for his nephew. But dear ones, he not only visited, he visited often. You see, Joseph was an abundant man, and his trade was importing. And he came to this place you call England, for the idea of trading in a metal that Palestine did not have. And on several occasions, he brought his nephew. They loved it here. Not only were there beautiful things here to see and to trade and discover, but think of where they lived and where they had come from. And now think of the lushness of this place, the beauty here, and the crystalline grid. Now, we have told you of the power of the crystalline grid being higher here than almost anywhere else in the planet, on this node. And it creates specific energies here that humans and consciousness are attracted to. It explains the things that are around here, which are distractions to the actual energy of the place. There are many who are attracted here and they have no idea why. And they arrive and then decide for themselves what is here. set up shop, and you can see it in the village. But the truth of what really happened here goes beyond the crystalline grid. But that's one of the reasons Joseph was attracted to this place. Dear ones, historians will question whether he was ever here. And yet, the relationships he made here during his visits actually set up the reason why he had land here, why he was given the opportunity to do what he did. That's intuitive. That's common sense. That's self-evident. Because when he did come here, he had no trouble fitting in and doing the things he wished to do as a merchant who was known. Let me just discuss yet again what has been called the missing years of Jesus. 2 days ago, I told you these were not missing years. These were boring years. There were no records at all of what Jesus did because he did nothing that was spectacular to anybody. There were no healings. There were no sermons. There was nothing out of the unusual because this man, this Jesus, did not yet take his mantle. He didn't go through his time of questioning of what was correct or not. He was not there yet. That came later. That came later where he lived, as he slowly realized who he was and picked up the mantle that he became, the master of love that changed the planet. But in those missing years, it is self-evident, is it not? He was not recognized. Nobody recognized him from the manger scene. No one knew him. Not really. These were the years where he grew up. Now here's the blasphemous part. Are you ready? The man Jesus was not celibate. He did not know who he was or why he should be. Celibacy, dear human being, is an invention of humans to claim purity and a little suffering. Because the suffering is, it takes you away from that which is beautiful and normal. Celibacy actually creates dysfunction and unbalance. Do I have to tell you more? And you know this, and you see this. This is an invention of men. There was no thought that he would be celibate. One of my partner's favorite sayings was given by a Christian minister as he talked to the young people in front of him. And he said these words: sex is one of the most horrible, dirty, filthy things on the planet. And you should save it for somebody you love. Does this ring with common sense? It does not. It should be self-evident that the relationships that are intimate between two human beings in love is sacred, is beautiful, is normal, designed in the beauty of the Creator. Now that is blasphemous to many. The man Jesus was very normal until he took the mantle and became what you know him. We go to the information that we have started to give you and we enhance it. In the upper room, in what you call the Last Supper, in the final day before the crucifixion, There's all manner of speculation. It has been enhanced and enhanced and enhanced because now you know it was the Last Supper. But the apostles didn't. And Jesus told them through the discourse of what you read, for they all wrote about it, or many. He tried to tell them what was going to be, but they didn't believe this. They were at the top of the celebration of the Master and who he was and what he had done, and the idea that the next day he would be taken out was not in their consciousness. They did not understand. Even during the betrayal, even during the First Communion, it was not obvious. It was simply another drama, another situation. They did not understand what he was saying. Let me give you something else controversial. That supper was not something extraordinarily special. It was Passover. They were all Jewish. And they did what they always did. This was not set up by Jesus as a special time. Come be with me because I'm going to tell you I'm leaving. It was a Passover where they broke unleavened bread and they did what was absolutely normal at that time. But he tried to tell them. They didn't believe it. They didn't understand. They didn't get it. And guess who was not there? Joseph. So the idea that he grasped the chalice and took it away quickly, common sense, he wasn't there. The idea that at this normal Passover dinner that would have been cherished or put away or was not there. There wasn't somebody who realized everything and stuck it in their bag so that it could be purchased later, as the legend has it. It was not done. We've given you that story. You can listen to it earlier, later, whatever you wish. Here's what I want to tell you. When the man was put upon the wood, it was very interesting, was it not, that none of his apostles or followers were there. Where were they? This took them completely by surprise. They were blindsided. And only in retrospect did some of them realize he was saying goodbye. Where were they? Most of them were afraid. They were hiding. First of all, they had been seen in public with an alliance with the Master. The worst thing they could do is show up at the crucifixion and be identified and taken away. That's not what they wanted. They didn't show up. Only the relatives and the immediate loved ones were there. Whatever you've been told, that's who was there. And that was Joseph, his uncle. Relatives were never questioned. Known loved ones at a crucifixion were never seen as those of interest to the law. They were expected to be there because these are the ones who would eventually take the bodies off of the wood and take them to the tombs. And that was Joseph. So yet again, common sense would tell you who Joseph was. Not even at the Last Supper, but in love with his nephew. His nephew had accompanied him many times. They had plans, perhaps even to live here, in this lush place where the crystalline grid is so powerful. So powerful. What happens next, I have not discussed with you. These are simple facts that you should know. And they are facts which can be researched and discovered in those things you call the Dead Sea Scrolls. It has been written, dear ones, but not necessarily part of what you've been told. We told you that even this day, there is a law in Israel, because it was never removed, that says it is against the law to crucify after sundown. It is part of the Jewish law. It is there. And so you know that all bodies were taken off the wood before sundown. But this day, they were taken off even earlier because of dignitaries coming to town. And those in charge did not want that to mar the image on Golgotha as the dignitaries would come into that street. So Jesus' body was removed even earlier. And the one who was there waiting was Joseph, his uncle. Wouldn't have mattered how early or late, Joseph was there. And what happened next, you should remember and realize about Joseph. He took the body off of the wood. There were helpers. There always were. Like there are helpers at grave sites. There are helpers. But Joseph, he helped manage this. And where they took his nephew next, you should know. His nephew did not have a tomb yet, wasn't old enough, didn't have abundance. That's something you purchase. You purchase it in advance, like some of you will purchase grave sites in advance. Joseph, an abundant man, had a tomb very, very close to the hill where this took place. And Joseph took his nephew off of the wood. And Joseph took his nephew to his own tomb that he had purchased and had. That was Joseph's tomb. Beautiful, that love of that relative, of that man for his nephew. Where were the apostles? Where were all the followers? The only other relative, the only other loved one, was named Mary. And she was there too, not questioned at all, because those in the area knew who she belonged to. That's the story. But you're in Glastonbury. What does this have to do with that? And here it is. The legends are correct. Joseph came back here. He came back to this spot where his nephew loved, where the crystalline grid was strong, where he felt the lushness of the earth, to build an oratory, a chapel, a prayer place that would become, in legend and reality, the first church of Christ. In honor of his nephew, he built this. You'll hear the guides say many things today and point out where this was and what was destroyed and what was rebuilt, all accurate and true. But it all started with Joseph. And here's what I want to tell you. This first Christian church is nothing at all like what became. Because Joseph did not set up his chapel and the church of his nephew showing any crucifixion. There was no man on the wood. There were no symbols of sorrow and suffering. There was bright colors. There was prayer and there was celebration. And the celebration was the teachings of Jesus Christ. And his death didn't mean what it does today. Today, when you walk up to so many organizations that would say they are Christ, you walk in and it's dark, and there is the wood, and there is the man who suffers almost an eternity for hundreds and hundreds of years. That was not present in the first Christian church. Because Joseph knew the teachings of his nephew is what the world needed to hear. The crucifixion, it was too bad. But it wasn't the crux of everything like it is today. Joseph had a nephew who taught about the joy and the beauty and the love of God. And that's what Joseph put here. Bright colors, singing, prayer to a God that was the God of love, not the God of law. This is an important part of the story that changed the planet. And as you walk this place, legends, of course, they will occur. There's even a place, supposedly, where King Arthur is buried. It's one of many places where King Arthur is buried. I will call this place Convenient Abundant Bones. And the guides may tell you some more. It's sacred ground. It really is. Not only does the crystalline grid remember it so well, but this is where Joseph came to honor his nephew, and he did it right. And so it is.